presents I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. Once again, we're coming to you from the Theatre Royal in Bury St. Edmunds. This historic town is swelled to overflowing during the annual carnival when thousands of gaily clad dancers samba through the streets to the rhythm of the bongo beat. Towards dawn, a torchlit procession wends its way out nearby Sugarloaf Mountain to watch the sun rise over Copacabana Beach. These are just a few of the town's pleasures which make it unmistakably Bury St. Edmunds. Or is that Rio de Janeiro? I don't know. Bury is also very near the university town of Cambridge, where our own Tim Brooke Taylor got a very respectable 2-2. And I'm delighted to say he's wearing it for this time. So, please welcome Tim with his Willie Rushton. And on the other side, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And if that weren't excitement enough, please welcome the lady who scores, the enchanting Samantha. We'll start off with a round called Historical Postcards. In this round, teams, I'd like you please to come up with some postcard messages likely to have been sent by famous historical figures from a certain holiday destination. Tim, will you start, please?
This is from Julius Caesar, home to his wife, Portia. Postmarked Londinium, 55 before something that hasn't happened yet. reads, Hail, Portia. Vicky... Vidi Veni, or vice versa. Status quo, good. But Beatles, better. Hail and pace. Sorry, hail a parche. Julius.
Barry Cryer.
This is Captain Cook. From Sydney Bay. Dear James, counting every minute, Sydney.
Willie. Captain Scott from the Antarctic. The weather's not up to much. Catering poor. Oates is popping out to post this now.
Graham.
This is Nelson to Lady Hamilton. Having a great time at Trafalgar, apart from the pigeons. Captain Hardy has shown me great loyalty and affection, though I still have to remind him no tongues. Can't wait to be back with you. Hope the eye and the arm are enough to be going on with.
P.S. Please send half bottle of Optrex.
Willie.
Five is one from Wordsworth, from Tintin Abbey, saying, Dear Dorothy, have you got a rhyme for either Tintin or Abbey?
One from Adam to Eve. Oh. Weather here, wish you were beautiful.
Clever. Okay. Any more? Right. Now it's time for the delightful game Pick Up Song. When Samantha cranks up the handle of my gramophone, teams, you'll hear some rattling good numbers, which I'd like you please to sing along to. At a random point, Samantha's spare hand will reverse rotate my volume knob. The music to drop out. If on its return you're closer than half a crotchet to the original, I'll be awarding points, and points mean prizes. What do prizes mean? Oh, a sharp lot in there. This week's prize is a fabulous skiing trip to Swiss Cottage. Barry and Graham, will you please sing along to We're a Couple of Swells? And I'd like your part of Fred Astaire to be taken by Graham Garden and that of Judy Garland by Barry Cryer.
We're a couple of swells. We stop at the best hotels, but we prefer the country far away from the city smells. We're a couple of sports, the pride of the tennis courts. In June, July, and August, we look cute when we're dressed in shorts. The Vanderbilts have asked us up for tea. We don't know how to get there, no siree. No siree.
Ten points, but Graham loses 12 for counting out loud. Tim and Willie, will you please accompany Julie Andrews and Rex Harrison singing The Rain in Spain? That's Tim Brooke Taylor as Rex Harrison and Willie Rushton as Julie Andrews.
A lifetime of ambition realized.
The rain in Spain.
By George, she's got it.
Now, once again, where does it rain?
On the plane. On the plane.
And where's that soggy plane?
In Spain!
In Hartford, Hereford, and Hampshire, hurricanes hardly happen.
Bom, 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 bom.
How kind of you to let me come.
Now, once again, where does it rain?
On that plane. On the plane.
And where's that blasted plane?
It's very bloody Spain.
The rain is bursting.
They were nowhere near it, but since they got exactly the same amount of applause from the audience, I suppose I'd better give them the same amount of marks, minus two. Now, somewhat against my will, I must give in to pressure from listeners and provide Colin Sell with something to do in this round. So, Colin, will you please accompany Richard Clayderman playing Strangers in the Night? According to Samantha, that's Colin Sell 7, Richard Clayderman 1. Our next round is called Tag Wrestling. It's loosely based on a variation of professional wrestling, which is often accused of being rigged. However, I can put my hand on my heart and say there's nothing professional about this at all. I shall give you both the tagline to a story. I shall then start one team telling a story to fit their punchline. When I do this, a member of the opposing team should take up the story and make it fit their punchline, and so on. Barry and Graham, your punchline is this. So that's where the plutonium was hidden, exclaimed Shula, as the sheep ran out of the kitchen. Timmy Willie, your punchline is, and to prove it, Inspector Morse pulled off Mrs. Bottomley's rubber mask to reveal her true identity. Barry Graham, you've had a long time to consider, so will you start your story, please?
Witness.
Graham.
Oh. It was a fine, sunny morning in Ambridge as Tom Forrest wandered down the hill towards the Bull. What are you up to? What are you up to this morning, Shula? He inquired.
I'm on my way to Oxford, where Mrs. Bottomley is making a speech on behalf of the health service with her husband, Roy.
Remember him?
She's going down...
Nobody remembers him. He was buried with Evan Andrews.
And Mrs. Bottomley is making this speech on behalf of the National Health Service. I can't wait to hear that. She was slightly potty, young Shula, but she went into the... went into the lecture room and...
Meanwhile, back in Ambridge. Have you heard about the missing successfully? Never mind that. Get this sheep out of my kitchen, cried Shula.
Oh, my word, said Walter Gabriel.
Through
the media. Oh, Shula's dead. We have to go to the funeral.
And I can tell you who did it, said Inspector Morse, haltingly, from round the back of Mrs. Bottomley.
Meanwhile.
What do you mean, meanwhile?
Meanwhile, back in Oxford.
That's where we were. You know.
Where the real Shula had gone to hear Mrs. Bottomley's lecture. Shula suddenly found herself offering Mrs. Bottomley a cup of tea. I'll pop into the kitchen to make it. Thank you very much, said Mrs. Bottomley. They heard as Shula opened the kitchen door. Well, the mystery is solved.
But of course it wasn't, because Shula was wearing a rubber mask to reveal her true identity, and to prove it, Inspector Morse.
I must admit, I have the faintest idea who Shula is. And to prove it, Inspector Morse pulled off me, but Mr. Master was missing.
Too late, I've ballot. So if it wasn't for the buzzer, I don't think I'd get through that, Jane.
That wasn't a buzzer, Tom.
Well, you know what it is. I don't know what it is.
It's a hooter.
If you're going to be quibbling, can I ask you what you meant by saying Shula put on her rubber mask to reveal her identity?
I didn't.
She was wearing a mistake about a buzzer, so you watch out. She was
wearing a rubber mask.
To reveal her identity. Let's go on to the next game. And quite reasonably, it's entitled Doctor's Jargon. In this round, team members are invited to suggest some familiar phrases habitually uttered by doctors and nurses, together with an explanation of what they really mean. Remember, teams, it's all too easy to make a cheap joke at the expense of the medical profession. So let's get on with this. Barry, will you start, please?
You may experience some discomfort. Or you could go private.
There's a lot of it about. This means I've got that. What are you taking for it?
What I actually had, which was, I should try and cut down on the booze if I were you, old man. Which I think means, blimey, you drink nearly as much as I do.
Graham?
When the doctor says, I'll ask Nurse Simpson to come in here and then you can slip your things off, means Nurse Simpson likes a good laugh.
You won't feel a thing. Means you'll be dead.
I wouldn't worry if I were you. I'd panic.
You just need a little specimen. You won't be able to do anything for a while, and then you'll be terrified it's going to overflow. You've been there.
Any more?
The doctor says, I hope my hands aren't too cold. It means I've lost all sense of feeling since that party last night.
Okay, it's now time. Okay, it's now time to play the game called Mornington Crescent. Yeah! In view of what they see as the recent complication of standard play, many listeners have requested that we adopt a simplified version of the game. So for this week only, teams, Stovall's defence is still allowable during forward triangulation, but back doubling may only be attempted after a northern approach. Have you got that? Stovall's defence still allowable during forward triangulation, but back doubling may only be attempted after a northern approach. Well, we can't make it any simpler than that. Okay, Tim, will you start, please?
Only after a northern approach. Or is that an option?
I didn't mean start quibbling. I mean start playing.
That's a fair question.
Yeah. Do you get Stovall's defence forward triangulation only after, or can we have the choice?
Yeah. You can have a choice.
Right, so Berkeley Square.
Berkeley Square.
Hay Hill.
Hay Hill. Wood Lane.
Ha ha ha. Barons. No,
He said court. He did.
Oh,
no. Sorry. Trying to get it. It's not a bad it's a fact. Not a good ball, it's Hay Hill.
Yeah.
Barons Court. Yeah.
Oh, Barons Court.
Oh, blast.
Oh, no, sorry, not Barons Court.
Barons Court. I believe.
That'll make 20 moves in the first hour, Tim.
The embankment.
Northumberland Avenue.
Yeah.
Ah, a tribute to Stovall coming up. Parliament Square.
Well done.
Tee-hee, tee-hee. If his audience knew anything, they'd be cheering. They'd be... Thank you.
Hold it, Willie. That wasn't during forward triangulation.
No, quite.
Well,
if it wasn't.
It wasn't.
Yes, you knew.
I don't know why they were cheering. Whooping with pleasure.
That was only one or two of the audience.
Yeah.
The rest are looking very smug now.
I think you'd just about get by with that move.
That's what
I think so. Well, I think you'll find it's all good.
Okay, Graham, carry on.
Mornington Crescent.
If we're talking forward triangulation, come on, it's cocky.
Yes?
Sorry, you took undue advantage of a certain amount of confusion that was going on there.
Yeah. I'm getting a thumbs up from the Grand Master's room.
Well, I've got a lot of time to kill in there.
Now, I think we'll have to... I don't think I can allow that, Graham.
No.
If you'd, I think the simplest thing is for you to make an alternative move. I mean, normally you would be penalised. But that would mean starting the game again, and I couldn't stand it. Go on, Graham, quickly now. Can we speed this up a bit?
Okay, Barons Court.
Farm Avenue.
Cromwell Road.
Kensington Church Street.
Hay Hill. Yeah.
The embankment.
Mornington Crescent.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I can see that coming.
See, this is a nice little story.
Sorry, but that's one of the best games we've had. It's now time for a round of those amusing five-line nonsense poems made popular by the likes of Edward Lear, which history tells us were originally devised by an itinerant Irishman with a fondness for rhyme. Apparently, the idea came to him just as he was passing a signpost, and that name has been with us ever since. So, teams, let's now play a round of major roadworks ahead. Some people call them limericks. I shall furnish you each with a fecund first line, which I'd like you to continue, taking one line each. And I'm going to start with you, Tim. The best way to read Conan Doyle.
The best way to read Conan Doyle is sitting astride Katie Boyle.
Let me just
Let me just savour the picture for a moment. When she cries PTO...
That's the moment to go.
There are some things from which I recoil.
Barry, here's one for you. While pretending to read some Voltaire...
While pretending to read some Voltaire, strange noises emerged from my chair.
George Bernard Shaw...
said the plot,
that's all.
Said, I'll open the door.
Thank God for a breath of fresh air.
Willie, your first line is, while tucked up in bed with a Proust...
While tucked up in bed with a Proust, I was suddenly violently goose.
When I turned around...
to my horror, I found...
Barbara Cartland with corsets unloose.
Finally, one for you, Graham. There's a lady who reads Mills and Boone.
By the light of the silvery moon.
She loves all the stories.
And votes for the Tories.
They'll be coming to get her quite soon.
The next round's a musical one. When one considers the great partnerships of world history, the coupling of sooty with the hand of a fully grown man is bettered only by the lyrical combination of the swanny whistle and the kazoo. Teams, I'd like you to celebrate that great musical combination for us now. You'll be accompanied by Colin Sell on the piano. So, if music be the food of love, prepare to go on a crash diet. Tim and Willie, your song is Titwillow, and it's to feature Willie Rushton on kazoo and Tim Brooke Taylor on Swanny Whistle.
Hang on, well.
Barry and Graham, your song is A, You're Adorable, and this one will feature Barry Cryer on the kazoo and Graham Garden on the Swanee Whistle.
Do you remember when you had to pay for a radio license?
Well, time flies when you're enjoying yourself, which explains why I feel like I've just spent 3 days in the departure lounge at Gatwick Airport. Before we go, let's have a quick round of Zookeepers Film Club. Teams, as you would expect, I'd like you please to suggest some titles of films likely to be popular with an audience of zookeepers. Willie, you're going to start this one.
Panda and the Flying Dutchman.
Camel. Ot.
The Gnus of Navarone.
And there's Dove Story, starring Ally McCall and Ryan O'Neill.
And Hippo Marx. And Leopard Nimoy.
Farewell to Armadillos.
The Koala Miner's Daughter.
The Koala Purple.
She wore a yellow gibbon.
Oh, memories.
Hippo Apocalypse Now.
The Seventh Seal.
Oh, what a lovely warthog.
The Parrots of Penzance.
Twelve Angry Gerbils.
Unfortunately, we have to say
what's
now...
What's new, duck-billed platy pussycat?
Oh.
Thank you for that applause.
There's a girl in marsupial.
We do have to say now...
Robo-cobra.
Oh, sorry.
The outlaw Minky Whale.
No, so I was going to say that we've clearly overstayed our welcome by about 15 years. Join us again next week. In the meantime, it's goodbye from us all. Goodbye.
Deborah Taylor, Barry Pryor, Graham Garden and Willie Rushton will be given Silly Things to Do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by John Naismith. And some of the better moments.